4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, and I guess that's how you pronounce his name. I've never been able to do it. That they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Amen. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the God of peace, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Amen.
Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound.
Amen.
Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And let's stop with the next one. I can do all things which Christ, in through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now here's the Apostle Paul speaking to the church there at Philippi, reminding some people what they've done and thanking them. But then he tells them something very peculiar in verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I want to talk to you about tonight about how to rejoice always. The Apostle Paul says that he had rejoiced, that he was thankful, even though he had labored, and even though he had suffered, but he knew how to rejoice even when he was suffering or when he was in need or when he wasn't in need. And I got to thinking about that recently. There's always been times that I've wanted to try to help people to rejoice when they didn't appear they could rejoice. And it's hard for a pastor, it's hard for a father or a husband, it's hard for a grandfather to look at people and say, well, you ought to be rejoicing. And rejoice means to be full of joy, speak joy, display joy. And it must be important because you mention it more than once. And so if we'll think about it, it might have been written by me and you this way. Rejoice most of the time. And a lot of us would agree that most of the time, it's not difficult to rejoice. Most of the time. But it's hard to rejoice always.
Yes, sir.
It's hard. It's not difficult sometimes, but all the time, it takes a saint to rejoice in all things. Always. A lot of us, if we look back on our life, we'll see times of rejoicing most of the time. I got thinking today, and I don't know why I think about this so much. I guess it's one of the few memories I have left. But most of you, a lot of you in here will remember, and you younger people will laugh at us because you've never really been in need you younger people don't know what need is. You've always had your needs met. But we didn't. This generation you're looking at, and the generation before ours had less needs met than we did. And nobody gave us anything. We had to work or do without. And if we had needs to be met, we had to meet them by the grace of God. And all of us can remember good times and most of the time that we could rejoice. But I always go back to Christmas and I always think about there was just something about Christmas, though we were so poor, most of us were poor. We wasn't middle class or middle or lower middle. We were lower, and some of us was lower than others. But I can smell oranges and tangerines.
Yes.
When I think of Christmas, I can smell oranges and tangerines.
Yes.
See, y'all young people don't know, we didn't have supermarkets. We had grocery stores. No, that's a supermarket. How old are you? A and P, you was rich, man. Most neighborhoods had a grocery store. The Mill Hills over there, they had grocery stores. You could go to the grocery store. We had one down the street from our house on Springdale Extension, and it was just a building about this big that had three or four rows in it. And you'd call it a convenience store now, but we called it a grocery store. And you could walk in and get stuff, and everybody had a running tab. And we'd get stuff, and all month long we'd get something, only if we needed it. And candy was not included.
Right.
Nothing pleasurable was included. Necessities, and we'd go get them. And I'd look, being a little boy, I'd say, put that on Mama's bill. And Mama would pay her bill once a month. Y'all remember that?
Yes.
They didn't have oranges. They didn't have tangerines. They didn't have apples. They didn't even have stinking grapefruit. But around Christmas, that's one of the pleasurable things that I rejoice in, because I remember going down at the mill and they'd give us a goodie bag at the mill. If you worked there, your kids would get a goodie bag, and all of them had an orange and a tangerine, and they had an apple, and they had a banana, and they had a grapefruit, and they had a coloring book with a little tiny box of colors, crayons, and they'd have a little toy, maybe a little tiny toy, and maybe a little paddle ball, you know. And we'd go home rejoicing after we'd go. Mama worked like a dog down there, but we didn't know nothing about that. Once a year, we'd get to smell the fruit.
Yes.
And I still rejoice over it. Once a year, my job to get the butcher knife and go cut down a cedar tree somewhere out in the woods and bring it home. And I still smell that at Christmas, though mine's made out of plastic now. You take it out of the box and pop it together, you know, and all that stuff. But even in our hard times, we had times we knew how to rejoice, but not always.
Right.
We remember good times. We remember Easters and Thanksgivings, and that was even better than Christmas. But we didn't know how to rejoice all the time. But we do. So we would write it most of the time. And but I want to show you five things tonight that will help us rejoice always. Number one, think about this. We just read it. We ought to have joy in the down times as well as in the up times.
Amen.
Now, here's what I'm saying. Everybody in here can truly agree with this text. We've had bad times. All of us. Nobody, listen, young people. God inspired Job to say it. Man's days are few and full of trouble.
Amen.
We all have hard times. You ain't had it yet because mama and grandma and grandpa and daddy's taking care of you.
Right.
But the time's coming. Everybody has bad times. Be good people, because you don't know what they're going through. You don't know what people's going through. You hate with that little waitress today, wherever you went out to eat. I had the prettiest waitress in town. She's sitting right over there. She cooked chicken and string beans and all that stuff. And I'm not being hateful to that. She cooks. Amen. but well, to treat people better. You don't know what people's going through. Everybody has down times. We can truthfully say we've all done it, because we've all had those mountain peaks, and then the next day we crashed and we're down in the valley. And we spent more time in the valley than we did on the mountain. By the way, you learn more in the valley. That's where the food grows, is in the valley. There ain't no food up on that mountaintop. Look, there the trees is even stunted up there. The rocks up there, you get down that valley, you can find the fruit. Amen? That's where you'll grow when you're down in the valley. That's where you'll learn how to rejoice. You don't learn how to rejoice up there and you get high times. You'll forget those next week. It's down in the valley, in the hard times, is where you learn how to be thankful. We've all had valleys of sadness. We've all had valleys of darkness. You don't know where some of us come from.
Amen.
If you did, it'd scare you.
Yep.
I witnessed a man one time just got out of penitentiary. He said, "Your people wouldn't want me to come to your church." Sit up, girl. Your back ain't broke. Sit up. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Listen. Listen to this. That man said this. He said, "I just got out of penitentiary. Your people wouldn't want me sitting beside them. They'd be scared." I said, "I got some people in my church you'd be scared to sit beside."
Yeah.
You don't know nothing about people. Y'all don't even know nothing about each other.
Right.
And thank God you don't.
Amen.
People come to me sometimes. They say, "You know such and such about your church member." I said, "No, and I'm glad I don't. I'm not asking either." Amen. It looked real good at church. But we've all had mountaintops. We've all had valleys. We've all had sadness. We've all had darkness. We've all had our heart broken. We've all held the hands of a loved one that's slipping off onto the other side.
Amen.
I remember my closest sister, Gloria, when she battled cancer. It was a terrible, terrible battle. And she was slipping off after months and months and months of suffering and then drawled up to nothing. And she just grunt, just slipping away. I was holding her hand and her husband, her boys were standing around. And I started singing a hymn. Started singing a hymn about heaven, and she looked up at me before she crossed over to the other side. And we've all had hard times. We've all held the hand of one that was slipping away. We've all stood beside gravesides that we didn't want to be standing there. You think you're any different? No, but he commands us to rejoice anyway.
Amen.
We've all known about, I hate to even say this, we've all known about reaching for something and just miss it. We've all had goals and we just miss them. We've all had dreams and just miss them. Yeah. Desires and just miss them. We've all had that. We've all calculated things sometimes wrong. We had it figured up. We knew what this was going to cost us. And it turned out wrong. There wasn't much to rejoice about. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
Amen. Yeah.
I know, if you're very old, you probably know too what it's like to be informed that it was the best friend that planted that knife in your back.
Right.
It was the best friend that turned on you and tried to ruin your reputation and destroy your life. It was a friend that did that.
Yes.
Jesus looked at Judas and he said, "Judas, betrayest thou me with a kiss?" We've all had that. But he says rejoice anyway.
Yeah.
Rejoice anyway. Listen to this. When we consider those experiences that we've had, all that trouble, and put the always outside that, it's hard to understand how we can rejoice always. So here's what I've had to say. I had to write this down. I had to say this to myself today, that there must be a way that I can rejoice in this. There must be a way. If God never gave a command that he didn't give us the ability and the way how to fulfill that command.
Amen, sir.
So there must be a way to rejoice, Sister Mary, in every situation.
Yes.
There must be. Y'all boys listen, there must be a way. Your daddy walked out and left you. There must be a way to rejoice in that. Your wife run off and left you. There must be a way to rejoice in that. Your husband betrayed you. There must be a way. God wouldn't command it if it wasn't real. You lost your child.
Amen. Yeah, come on, bro.
So we have to say there must be, since he gave the command. Here's the answer. Same as everything else in the Christian life. By the grace of God, I can.
Amen.
By the grace of God, I can.
Amen.
I don't have to be defeated. I don't have to be beaten down. When people see a Christian laughing and talking, it doesn't mean we don't have storms. It just means we know how, who the storm stopper is.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
You ever been to a Christian funeral?
Yes.
There's a lot of smiling going on at a Christian funeral. It's just the opposite of lost people's funerals. They all have to get drunk before they come.
Amen.
And then don't do nothing but weep and cry and laugh. You go to a child of God that's crossed over with the victory, and those people saying, yeah, I remember when, hey, I remember when he got saved. I remember when God did this for him or did this for her. And the reason is we know we're in a storm, but we know who's going to stop the storm.
Amen.
Then I thought about this. Look at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. If God gives a command, there's got to be a practical answer to it. I'm not talking about some pie in the sky, made up TV preaching junk. I'm talking about there's got to be a practical answer. If God gives a command and it gives me a question mark, there's got to be a practical answer to this thing. It must be accomplishable or he would not have given me the command.
Amen. Yeah.
So I've got to do it in Christ. I cannot do it out of Christ. I'm not running away from him. I'm going to run to him.
Yes.
I'm not leaving the church. If anything, I'm getting more into the church. I'm not going to quit reading the Bible. I'm going to read the Bible more.
Amen.
I'm not going to quit praying. I'm going to pray more.
Amen.
I'm not going to quit witnessing. I'm going to witness more.
Amen.
Because in Christ, he says it, I can do all things with which Christ would strengthen me. I can do it through him. He commands me to rejoice always. I can do it. I can do it.
Right. Yes, sir.
I'm not saying it's easy to do, but I think once you get to doing it, it gets easier.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to rejoice all the time. Listen, the world is especially young people, this world's a mean, hard place.
Yes, amen.
And if you hadn't found that out yet, you got people protecting you real well. But you, sooner or later, you're gonna find out.
Yes.
This is a mean, cruel, hard world. It will break you.
Amen.
It will destroy you because this is the prince of the power of the air's world. The devil's running this place.
Yeah.
And all these so-called friends, you know, they're good time friends, but when the trouble comes, they'll leave you
broken.
And the world is mean to happy people.
Yep.
The world is mean to people that rejoice in the Lord.
Yes.
Because they don't understand it.
Right.
So they mock us and they make fun of us. And listen, every day in this mean, wicked, rotten world, you will be hurt if you don't have inner peace.
Yes. Amen.
Inner peace.
Yeah.
If Christ is not in you,
right.
You're not going to have peace in this world.
Right.
And look, you'll be on that list of those people lined up over there at the rehab center. And I'm not talking about the hip replacement. I'm talking about the drug and alcohol rehab center. Amen?
Amen.
If you don't have inner peace, you won't try to find it somewhere or in somebody or something. And it may be money, places, power, position, or drugs, or alcohol, or illicit relationships, wherever it might be. But you'll find out in every one of those places, there is no peace.
Right.
There's joy in sin for a season. For a little while, it pleases that old flesh. But my wife always reminds me, the flesh will say, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. You're going to like this. Boy, this is going to be good. Go ahead and do that. Everybody else is doing it. This is going to be good. Go ahead and do it, girl. Go ahead and do it, boy. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. And then you fall into it. Next day, you wake up and the flesh says, oh, my goodness, do you know what you did? You sorry rascal. I'm going to tell everybody.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 So the world is not an easy place to live in. You need somebody that will come into your life and say, peace, be still.
Amen.
You know, Buddha can't do it. He's a statue. His hands don't move. His feet don't move. Muhammad couldn't do it. He died and went to hell.
That's right.
I did say that, and it is true. The man died and went to hell. Young Sung Moon couldn't do it. He died and went to hell. Amen. I mean, Joseph Smith couldn't do it. He died and went to hell.
Amen.
And the only one that we can find inner peace through is the Lord Jesus Christ. And look, pleasure of this world won't give you inner peace. And the people of this world can't give you inner peace. They don't have the power to do it.
Amen.
Look at verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound.
Amen.
Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and be hungry. What's he saying? Well, if you got something to eat, praise God. If you don't, I'm full.
Yeah.
He fills me. Amen.
Yeah.
And he says, and to be both to abound and to suffer need.
Yeah.
Now, once you know Jesus Christ, you begin to know the secrets of inner life.
Amen.
And now, you need to be joyful when God says no.
Thank you, Father.
Now, try me on this. You listen to those radio preachers, not all of them bad. There's some good radio preachers, more there than on TV. And you listen to those TV preachers, and I want you to listen real good because there's nowhere in the Bible where anyone ever got everything that they asked for.
Thank you, Lord.
And that stinking television evangelist wouldn't have it if you didn't keep sending him money. God didn't buy that. You did. Hello. Amen. Listen, God hears your prayers, but in his divine wisdom, think about this, his sovereignty, his divine wisdom, he's in control of all. He knows yesterday, today, and tomorrow. There's nothing secret with God. Think about this. In his divine wisdom and for his own reasons, sometimes he says no. Now you and I, we can't see past today. We can't see past today. That's it today. We know not what a day may bring forth. We don't know if it's going to be good or bad. But God does.
Yeah, right.
And you know, I'm glad God doesn't give me everything I ask for.
Yes, Lord. Right. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. I'd be out of God's will in some church up in Timbuktu somewhere, you know. Let me tell you something. I'm glad he has more wisdom than I do. And he has foreknowledge that I don't have.
Amen.
And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he treats me just like he treats everybody else.
Amen.
And I'm glad that sometimes when he says no, I don't have to get the poochie lip disease.
Right.
Some of you people, nobody's ever told you no.
Right.
And if they even look like they're going to say no, you poke out that old lip. You don't love me. If you love me, you give me that. No, I do love you. That's why I don't give it to you.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
I tell people all the time, when you get a teenager to get their driver's license, these guys want to buy their boys and girls brand new cars.
Yeah.
You dumb as a box of rocks to buy a teenager a brand new car.
That's right.
Now that girl's going to have at least 3 wrecks. And that boy's going to have 5 or 6, not counting losing his license for speeding and running red lights and everything else, because none of them have enough sense to drive yet.
That's right.
If you don't believe that, go to the insurance department and try to take out insurance on one of those little heathens. And the insurance company will tell you, they paying 4 times more than you are, because they're going to wreck your car, and we already know it.
Right.
Because we've seen thousands just like them, and I know you don't think that about yours. Yours never would do that. But that's what we're going to charge you because we know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And sometimes God looks down at me and says, I'm not going to do that. I know what you made out of. I know what you do. I'm not giving you that. And go ahead and rejoice anyway.
Amen.
And sometimes I rejoice because he doesn't answer my prayers with a yes. He answers it with a no. I say, thank you, Jesus. And it may be a year down the road. I say, why?
Yeah.
Something happened. And I say, Lord, that's why you didn't answer my, that's why you didn't let me take that church over there. That's why those people called me and you didn't let me go over there, Lord. Now I see it. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
But I'm going to rejoice anyway whether he answers it yes or no. Now, how can you do that, preacher? Listen to me. Because he's already given me better than I deserve.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I ought to be in hell right now. I ought to be in hell. I ought to be burning right now.
Come on, sir.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, preacher, you're a pretty good fella. No, I ain't. And you're not either.
That's right.
I mean, boy, if we could, we got two TV screens. Who would volunteer to put on that headset back there and let us show all your thoughts on one of those screens? I'm glad he don't give me what I... Hey, he's already given me better than I deserve.
Yes, sir.
He said, but you got saved. Yeah, but I still deserve to go to hell from before I got saved and after I got saved.
Amen.
Amen. I don't do what I used to do, but I don't always do what I ought to do. Sometimes I do what I ought not do.
Right.
Hello.
Right.
Listen. Now, because people do not know how to live rejoicing, they find nothing to rejoice about in ordinary living. That's the problem.
Amen.
You see, you think you only have to rejoice when it's a big deal.
Yep.
But if you get up tomorrow and you can breathe, you'll rejoice.
Amen.
There's people all over this country who's going to get up tomorrow and they're struggling for every breath.
Yes.
Amen, Sister Hazel? Amen. If you can get up tomorrow and put your clothes on by yourself, you'll rejoice. There's people that ain't able physically and some not mentally able to dress themselves tomorrow. You'll rejoice, thank God, and get up and kick a football. I can kick. Hallelujah! I can still kick. I put my own shoes on today. Hallelujah! I tied them too. They're not Velcro. Amen. Well, y'all boys laughing about it. You go over there and get the box and somebody's going to knock your little brain off one day and you won't even be able to tie your own shoe. Now, I know it sounds funny, but it's true. We got a fellow who visits this church. That happened to him.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Now, let me tell you something. We'll rejoice in the little things. And if you rejoice in the common everyday things, it'll get to be such a habit where it won't be hard to rejoice in the hard times either. Well, I don't know what you're rejoicing about, an orange. Well, you ain't never been without oranges.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, I don't know what you're rejoicing about, being able to tie your own shoes. I'd rather buy Velcro. Well, you're just lazy, and you'll find out one day what I'm talking about. look, and this is not the sermon, but I do have a sermon I preached. 9 out of 10 ain't bad. If you've got a life that you're living and you can name 9 out of 10 good things in your life, you'll be cutting laps around this church, cutting flips, praising God, doing cartwheels.
Yes.
Do you know how few people get 9 out of 10 good things in their life?
Right.
Well, wait a minute. Don't stop there. If you got 8 out of 10, hey, that's a good grade.
Yep.
I learned that in school. If I get 8 out of 10, I'm on the B list. I didn't care to go no farther at work, but I could get on the B list. Amen. Come on, help me. Oh, I can see some of you never had a B. It ain't cause you had A's either. Well, 7 out of 10 is not failing. You get 7 out of 10. If you got 7 good things out of 10, you ought to be praising God. Do you know how many people in this world cannot count 7 good things in their life?
Right. Yep.
And in school, I found out 70 I could pass. Amen. I quit that homework. Amen. 6 out of 10 ain't bad. We'll be rejoicing if we got 6 good things in our life that we can count on.
Amen.
Now, since we went digital, I don't get my paper out of the paper box anymore. I hate digital.
Right.
It's straight out of hell. The devil did it.
Yeah.
The Herald paper was invented by Satan's son.
Yes.
It never gets me the page I want, the way I want, when I want it on that thing. I'd rather walk to the paper box.
Yes.
But it used to be when I had a paper in the paper box, I'd walk out there and I'd say, well, thank God I can still walk. I'd walk that paper box far from here to the end of the building just about, and I'd say, thank God I can still feel my feet. I know people can't feel their feet.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank God I can see. God, I can see. I can see, God. I can see without my glasses. I can see. Thank God I can see. And then I'd say, thank God I can still breathe.
Amen.
God, I know people struggling to breathe right now. Thank God I can breathe. Praise the Lord, I can breathe. I can even smell. Thank God.
Amen.
And I'd keep walking. I'd get that paper and I'd look at it. I said, thank you, Lord, I can still read. Thank you, Lord, I'm still in my right mind. Don't say nothing. I'm still in my right mind. I know who I am and where I'm going. Hallelujah. Look here, you ought to be rejoicing.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
You young boys ought to be jumping pews. You got enough strength to get up tomorrow and run 10 or 12 laps around the gym, and most of the people in here couldn't make the first lap.
Right.
If you keep laying around the house on those video games, you won't be able to run but one lap either.
Right.
It'll take me about 3 months to destroy all those muscles you got.
Yep.
But look, I want to rejoice always. What a rejoice. Yeah, well, but preacher, you don't understand. I got 4 things in my life bad. Yeah, but you got 6 good.
Amen.
When you don't know how to rejoice at ordinary things, you're going to miss the great opportunities to rejoice.
Amen.
I mean, just ordinary stuff. Most of you got a good house to sleep in tonight. Most of you's got a good bed to sleep on. Most of you's got heat. Do you know how long it was before a lot of us had real heat? Is this on? Do you know how long we had to jump out of our beds that had so many covers on them we couldn't turn over at night? And grab our clothes off the floor and run to the heater in the middle of the house. And everybody got dressed at the heater in the middle of the house. Do you remember that? And they got central heat.
Yeah.
You're a big shot. Well, I remember when growing up, I thought people lived in brick houses and had central heat and didn't have those lights that hung down from the ceiling and you could plug stuff in the wall and not that thing that you screwed into the light bulb. I thought that was rich people.
Yeah.
It was. Yes, it was rich. You ever go, you old people, you ever go in people's house and every room it had one light that hung down like this right here? And they had a
chain.
Yeah, but they had a thing screwed in it that you could plug stuff in. They'd have an iron plugged in it over here and a hot plate plugged in it over here. And, you know, and every room had them like that.
Yeah.
And you had to go in there and pull the string. When the string broke, you just have to turn the bulb, turn it on and off. You bless, man.
Right.
Amen.
My goodness, some of you kids, some of you young people, listen, you know why you ain't rejoicing? You ain't never had it hard. That's your problem.
Amen.
You've never had a normal life. You've lived like rich people all your life. Well, we ain't rich. You don't know where we live. Yeah, but you don't know where we lived.
Amen. Yes.
You ain't never sat in the house and watched those cold wind blow and shake the curtain.
Yes.
Y'all remember that? Yes. Curtain shaking.
Yes.
Woo! You ain't never had chop wood and throw in that wood heater that heated your house and you cooked on it too. And it gets so hot you couldn't get close to it. I'm about to shout. I'm so happy. I don't have to get up and light nothing.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you so lazy you got clappers. You don't even turn your light on. Turn them on. Hello. So you miss a good opportunity to rejoice because you're not looking at the family you got. You're only thinking about the family you wish you had.
Come on now.
Amen. I'm about to cry. See, you're not rejoicing because you only think about the ones that's gone. Well, what about the ones that's still there?
Yes.
Right. Amen.
You don't know how badly some of us wish we could go back in time and rejoice for Mama while she's still alive.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Or a husband, or a brother, yes, or a sister. We didn't think it was a time to rejoice then, but now we know. If it was now, we would rejoice.
Amen, yeah.
You ought to rejoice for your family. What about your friends? Boy, if you got a true friend, you got a jewel. Not many of them.
You're right.
Most of us grew up with what we thought were friends, and the ones that aren't dead and gone, they've deserted us.
Amen.
Especially when you got your faith, they left you.
Amen.
You don't know what a treasure it is, young people, to have real friends.
Yep.
You know, that kind that walks in when everybody else walks out.
Praise you, Lord.
You'll be rejoicing if you got one. Amen. Just one.
Yep.
You see, you don't know how to rejoice for housing. You don't know how to rejoice for clothes. You never had to do it out. You never wore hand-me-downs. Can you see this little old skinny boy about that big around wearing his teenage brother's hand-me-downs? And I'd have to, on my pants, I'd have to fold them like this and put the belt over them to hold them up. We didn't have a lot of hand-me-downs. We didn't have much, but whatever we had, look, you'll be thankful for what he's given you now.
Yes.
And hey, if you'll be faithful in little, he'll give you much.
Right.
I don't know why people don't rejoice more. Philippians 4:9. Man, I done went over time. Y'all listen too slow all the time. Verse 9. Those things which you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. He said, he said, now what you've seen in me, what you heard in me, now do it. And then the God of peace will be with you.
Amen.
Another place he says, be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. Devils have heard it. Millions of people have heard it. And you simply get peace by not only hearing it, but by doing it.
Amen.
You got to be a doer of the word in order to get a reward from the word. We'll get up every morning singing, count your blessings.
Yes.
Count your blessings. Name them one by one and you'll see what God has done. Oh my goodness. A lot of folks don't rejoice in hard times because they aren't doers in the good times. They don't rejoice at the good times. What makes you think they're going to rejoice when it gets bad?
Come on now. Yeah.
Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Get your mind out of the gutter and get it into glory.
Amen.
You think wrong. But the sad thing is, for people that think like that, they think everybody else thinks like them, so they don't like anybody. You ever notice that? People that think wrong, well, they think everybody else is thinking like them, so they're suspicious of everybody else because they think everybody's suspicious of them.
Come on now.
And I told somebody one day, I said, has it never occurred to you that people really probably never even think about you? You worried about what these people think and you get all down in the dumps and you can't rejoice because you think what they think is what you think? Write that down somewhere. That was good. Read it back to me. Get your mind out of the gutter. I used to have this guy, he cornered me years ago. He cornered me every Sunday morning before I'd preach. every Sunday morning, right before I'd preach him, ruined my attitude every Sunday morning. And he had something to say bad about somebody. Every Sunday morning, he was complaining about somebody. And finally, I told him, I said, don't talk to me before I preach anymore. You're ruining it for everybody. You're making me mad, and it ruins the whole sermon. And then I had another guy, he talked to me a lot after the sermon. Every week, he'd say, preacher, why you preach at me like that? Why are you always talking about me up there? I'm getting tired of it. I said, son, has it never occurred to you there's over 200 people in this place and you think that all week long I study and I pray and I study and I pray to try to help all those people that I'm going to skip over all them and just get at you?
Amen.
I said, you think a lot more of yourself than I do. Get your mind out of the gutter. My goodness, start thinking good things, holy things, lovely things. Explore yourself. Expose yourself to good things. Don't watch them crying in your beard shows, and don't listen to that crying in your beard music, and don't be around negative crying in their beard people and all this stuff. Expose yourself to good people. Expose yourself to those that do rejoice.
Yes.
If somebody comes running around and won't tell you bad news, say, don't tell me. Don't tell me that. I was doing good before you got here. And you just leave me alone, I'll leave doing good. I'm rejoicing. Shut up!
Amen.
Come out from among anyone or anything that would affect your rejoicing wrong.
Yeah.
Leave it.
Yeah.
Leave it. Leave them. The music. The mood. The place. The person. The thing. Whatever it is that can stop your rejoicing. Get away from it.
Yeah. It's good.
I'm not the most positive person in this room, and don't ask my wife because she'll tell you. But I'm pretty positive most of the time. I'm really pretty positive. And I think that this is the number one problem in most Christians' lives is they don't know how to rejoice always.
Right.
I'm going to read this. We're going to close. We got a business meeting. This is how we get the peace of God, which will produce the rejoicing of God. In verse 4, it says this, rejoice in the Lord always. No, again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto men. Live modestly. The Lord's at hand. Be careful. Don't worry about stuff. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Look here. Don't wait for it. Go ahead and do it with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Don't wait till he answers the prayer. Go ahead and thank him. Yes or no? Go ahead and thank him. With prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God,
amen,
which passes all understanding, you can't explain it, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's your answer, how to rejoice always. Just common sense preaching.
Yeah.
Common sense Christianity. Christianity 101. Now I'm going to go out here tonight rejoicing how your business meeting ends up. I'm going to be a happy man. Hey man, I'm going to get up tomorrow. If God lets me wake up, I'm going to rejoice about it.
Amen.
Oh, John Coley. I love that old man today. He can have a car wreck and get out of the car and say, praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Had a car. Praise God. Amen. I take him vision with me. We went from hospital to hospital. He walked through them hospitals saying, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, brother. Amen, sister. People didn't even know. He just called him brother, sister. Amen, brother. How you doing, brother? Doing good, brother. Praise God. Everywhere he went, all the time. He took me to see this one man. He said it was his cousin. And we went in this nursing home up in Charlotte, way up there above the Carolina Maple. And took me in this room. He said, this is the room he's in. He gave me the man's name. He walked in there. There was a man in there bedridden. And he told me this man was bedridden. And the man was laying there. And he walked over there and grabbed him by the hand. The man's laying there like this. And he grabs him by the hand and says, praise God, brother. I haven't seen you in a long time. Been praying for you, brother. Praise God. God's going to help you, brother. Glory to God. Amen. Here's the preacher. I brought the preacher to you, brother. called him by his first name. I don't remember what it was. And the man's laying there going. He couldn't talk. He couldn't communicate. He couldn't get up. He couldn't move. And he's almost in a coma, you know. And he scared the man. So I prayed with the man, you know, put my hands on him, prayed with him that God have mercy on him, heal him if he would, give him grace if he wasn't going to heal him. We walked out, and he walked down the hall. Praise God. Hallelujah. God touched him. God touched him. Amen. Praise God. We walked on down the hall. You know, you got to know John 90 years old now. And so we get down the road, and later on, he comes to me, and he says, probably days, weeks, I can't remember. He said, Brother Ron, you remember that man we went to see the nurse on the other day? I said, yeah. He said, that wasn't him. He said, but praise God, he got the gospel. Praise God. Amen. We all ought to be more like that. Amen. And the secret is we can be like that.
Yes.
Unless you're not saved. If you're not saved, you think we're crazy, but the rest of us, you understand what I'm talking about. All right, we're going to dismiss in prayer. Come if you will. Well, first we're going to sing. Come on, let's